taking their place in a long, true line of everyday Americans.
Helping to secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity. This is the Constitution Study on the America Out Loud Network with your host, Paul Engel.
Pay the bills, stay out of jail, love the neighbors, and have a few good friends. Every day you are everyday Americans.
Hello there, everyday Americans, and welcome to the Constitution Study. This is where we read, we study the Constitution, we teach the rising generation to be free. I'm glad you could join me today. You know, Benjamin Franklin, writing "As Silence Good, Do Good," said, "Without freedom of thought, there can be no such thing as wisdom, and no such thing as public liberty without freedom of speech." This idea of being able to think free and speak free are paramount to living as a free people. Now, what does that have to do with today's episode? Well, I was walking through the expo at the National Religious Broadcasters Convention the other week, and you know my history with social media. Most of you do, at least. I've been permanently booted off of Facebook. I've had videos and articles taken down from YouTube and LinkedIn. So there's all these different options popping up, and I saw a table for Getter. I'd heard about Getter, and I talked about Getter, you know, I looked at it a little bit, but they said, oh, it'd be great. They had somebody that would they love to maybe talk, do an interview while we were there. We didn't make it happen then, but we were able to make it happen today. So I'd like to introduce you to, I want to make sure I pronounce his name correctly, Kaelin Dorr. Is that right?
It's Kaelin, but Kaelin. I've been called much, much worse, Paul.
I'm sorry. I had planned to ask beforehand and literally forgot. So Kaelin Dorr, he runs global engagement and marketing for Getter, the fastest growing social media company in history. Prior to this, he was chief marketing officer for the President Trump's 2020 reelection campaign and is alum of both the Trump White House and the Treasury Department. Kaelin, thank you so much for taking some time and talking to me and my audience here at the Constitution Study.
No, absolutely. Thanks for having me. The work that you guys are doing is of critical importance. And I'm a little angry at myself for not finding time to connect with you at NRB. That was a heck of an event, wasn't it?
You know, it's great. I didn't go to the whole thing. I live in the Nashville area. So when NRB comes around, I love to walk the expo because I bump into interesting people and interesting organizations. And I was glad to join Getter. As you heard, you know, I've had a, let's say, a love-hate relationship with social media. I publish an article a week, a video a week, and 5 radio episodes a week. And the amount of time I spend going to all the different social media sites and putting stuff up, it consumes a lot more time than most people would think. So I've heard about Getter, but I really haven't had time to dig into it and investigate. Can you give us just like maybe a little background and history about Getter itself and how it came about?
100%. So like you mentioned, I was the CMO for Trump 2020. I worked Trump 2016. And that's a whole other story in of itself. But Jason Miller, our CEO here, and I, you know, we've been in the orbit for quite a bit. And essentially what we saw around January of last year or so was that they were literally coming around, rounding up conservatives and canceling their voice on social media. Not only that, but very timely, we're discussing this today. The New York Times has now come out and verified all of the claims that we had been making about Hunter Biden's laptop, something that was getting people canceled, something that was getting people ridiculed and was being completely scrubbed from the internet during this most recent election cycle, right? So we decided to get out there. Jason and some folks decided to get out there and found Getter. It's essentially, for those of you who don't know what it is but are interested, it's very similar to Twitter. It's short form blogging, right? So you get about 777 characters to convey a thought. It shows up in a timeline, and you're able to interact with other users and join conversations and things like that. Additionally, we have live streaming capabilities. We'll have a short form video very soon. So, you know, for the kids out there who love their TikToks, their Instagram reels, again, another place where algorithms are very predatory and very not friendly to conservatives. That's another thing we're bringing to the table in addition to DMs and all these things. What makes us different, and not only to take even a bigger step back, Paul, We have about 5 million users, and we've only launched, you know, early July of last year. And I think I fully anticipate us wrapping up our 1 year anniversary with around 10. That's going to be our goal. So what makes us different than a Twitter, Facebook, you know, Instagram, whatever you currently like to use, is that we believe that you should be able to come on the app and talk about things that would get you censored elsewhere, right? So there's a couple, there are lines. You can come on and talk about ivermectin, for example, being an appropriate therapy for COVID-19. You can come on and talk about the 2020 election, talk about voter fraud, things that you have to tiptoe around elsewhere, where we draw a line of things like hate speech, pornography, beheading videos, you know, things that, you know, I think we all can agree aren't things we want our children seeing, right? And so that's kind of what makes us different. We've got very clear community guidelines, and we're here to stay, man. It's been a blessing. It becomes more and more real every day. And really, it's been the honor of my life to be a part of this company, work with some of my best friends and the brightest people in the business. And I get to, you know, come out here and talk to great folks like you and your audience.
That's great. I find 777 characters is a unique number. Do you know why it's 777? I mean, or is it just somebody came up with that idea?
I think that's just physically the limit that we could do. But it is an awfully convenient number to land on, isn't it?
Well, yeah. You know, I spent 30 years in IT, so I know most of the binary boundaries. And I like, it doesn't fall on a binary boundary, you know. And again, in the Bible, seven's the number of creation, all that. My mind went into weird spaces. So you mentioned you have a community guidelines, and that's fine. I mean, Getter's a private company. You own the equipment. It's your property. You can do with it what you want. I've never said any of the social media platforms didn't have the right to control the content on their platforms. But what always drives me nuts when I've dealt with one of these platforms is when there's a dispute, I've never been told what I supposedly did wrong. What is if there's a community guideline violation or a belief of one, what is Getter's process for dealing with that?
Yeah, so that's something we really strive to do differently. And what I'll say is, when you get on, Paul, because I will convince you to get on Getter by the end of this conversation, when you get on, you'll see that, Jason, myself, you know, senior Getter staff, are all out there interacting with the audience, right? We're really, really all about community feedback. This is very community driven. I'll tell you, so a couple of things I failed to mention in my previous pitch, but two big things that make us different from Twitter, three big things are that one, we are never, ever, ever, ever going to sell your data. Your data will never be sold to a third party company. We'll use it to, you know, remind you to get on the app and things like that, right? I'll send you an email every once in a while that says, hey, here's some cool things going on at Getter. But other than that, we are not under any circumstances going to sell your data to folks. So that's the first thing, right? The second thing, there are no algorithms. So the algorithms that we are planning on instituting are very basic. It is not influenced by dollars. It is not influenced by, who we want you to follow or anything like that. We're not censoring anybody. Literally, we're just going to show you who your friends follow and things like that, right? That's the second thing. And yeah, I think the third thing is we're out there, we're interacting with the audience. We're taking feedback in. Jason and I are directly involved in kind of a lot of the moderation and things like that. We're very in the weeds on it because I think the spirit of this is something that's very important. You should know why you're being banned. I think nobody can look at Facebook or Twitter or anything like that and really argue that their original mission's inherently pretty good, right? They want you to be able to connect with your neighbor or, you know, life happens. I'm an Army brat, Paul. So I moved every year of my life until I was about, 19, 20. And I would have lost touch with so many people that are very important to me if I didn't have social media. So no one can argue that that's inherently bad or inherently good, but where they get bad are when they try to sell your data, but most importantly, they move the goalposts on you. They don't really, they're very, very just, they're secretive about what exactly it is you can or cannot say. And I think that really grinds the gears of most people. Twitter and them, they don't have a community guidelines as fleshed out as ours, you know, and they haven't been taking feedback from folks and proactively getting the message out. I think that's what makes us different. Twitter, Facebook, they're very reactive, but we've been very proactive about getting out into the communities, letting you know what is and isn't acceptable on the platform. And really, it just boils down to a spirit of mutual respect. Right, you agree to get on a platform. You know, it should be that they agree to, you know, let you abide by your First Amendment rights, with, you know, the caveat that you don't come on there and threaten to murder somebody. Right, that shouldn't be difficult. Unfortunately, it is for some folks, but that's kind of the spirit of what we're doing here, and that's what makes us different.
Yeah, that's interesting, because the thing that really bothered me, again, I've dealt with it with Facebook, with YouTube, and with LinkedIn, is they say some post violated the community guidelines. Sometimes they don't even tell you what the post is. But they say, well, what is it? I mean, I remember the first time it happened to me on Facebook, I got a 30-day suspension. I said, well, what did I do? They said, you violated guidelines. I said, what? At the time I was writing about, it was in the middle of the 2020 election season. I was posting what the Constitution says about how we elect a president. And that was it. That's what I was posting about. And for some reason but they never said what. They never told me what I did wrong other than this nebulous thing. And again, same thing for YouTube and for LinkedIn. Even if I did something wrong, how can I fix it if I've got no idea what it is? You know,
that's 100% true. And we've got there's examples of this every day. We've got a guy on staff here at Getter who was banned about a month ago, banned on Twitter about a month ago. Sorry for stumbling over myself. And they said he was banned for evading a ban. And the guy is just sitting there like, I don't know what you're talking about. This is the first time I've ever heard from you. What are you talking about? How am I banned for evading a ban it just doesn't exist? And it's because it's all done, you know, via algorithms. It's all done by these Silicon Valley oligarchs, these folks that they've never seen another human being. They are not involved in getting out there in the trenches and really getting to know their community. I think that's really important. It can't be, you know, stated enough times, is that, you know, we've got folks here that really truly understand. We have proven track records and understanding, and these communities, the pro-Constitution community, which shouldn't even be its own community, it should be everybody, right? People like yourself shouldn't be like a niche audience, yet, you know, you've been relegated to a certain subsect of society simply because big tech has teamed up to censor you and to make you the other. And that is wholly unacceptable to us. And it should be to every American. What totally baffles me, Paul, is that the original sin here is that the left's stranglehold on their culture has allowed them to basically dictate what you should or should not care about. That is the crux of the argument, right? Mm-hmm. You look at things happening right now, like, for example, what's happening in the Ukraine, okay? No one is going to sit here and argue it's not important. It's, you know, got global implications, et cetera, et cetera. But I'm going to level with you, man. I don't think someone sitting around their dinner table in the middle of nowhere, Kansas, really gives a damn if that's going on, simply because they can't afford to feed their families due to inflation, right? Mm-hmm. But you see the way that they manipulate media, they manipulate content to make sure that that's what's important to you. And it really isn't. So I encourage anyone who ever listens to us or gets on Getter to really think about what's important to you and what's going on, and really like anchoring yourself around that. That's something that you do here as someone who supports the Constitution and wants to get the word out. And those are the people that they're out to silence. So it's kind of a really roundabout way of answering your question, but I think it's something that's really important. It all is the same argument. It's all the same thing.
Well, it's just like Franklin said, you cannot have liberty without freedom of thought. Right? There's no such thing as wisdom without freedom of thought, and there's no such thing as public liberty without freedom of speech. You need to be able to think the way you want, and you need to be able to speak the way you want, and the answer to incorrect speech is not to silence them, but to counter them with better speech. And that's, you know, to me, that's always been critical. I grew up in a day when we said, I may vehemently disagree with what you had to say, but I will defend to the death your right to say it. And, you know, that's become so anathema nowadays. You know, one of the biggest issues I see with, one thing, I love seeing all these social media platforms pop up. It's, okay, if the big boys are going to be evil, then we'll, you know, they don't have a monopoly because other places can pop up. But it is hard. It is, you know, you've got, was it Facebook with, what, 2 billion subscribers. And, you know, you've got Getter with 5 million, which to me, 5 million is a good number. And if you get 10 million, you know, by the end of your first year, that's a decent number. How does that, you know, how do you compare with similar platforms like, you know, Parler or Locals or what Rumble's doing with video? You know, from someone from my standpoint where I'm a content creator and I'm trying to get my content in front of eyeballs to generate interest and to generate discussion. You know, is Getter just one more of the same, or is there something unique about how Getter operates from that standpoint?
Yeah. So to pare it back a little bit, so 10 million in a year is astounding. For reference, it took Facebook or Twitter multiple years to get to 1 million. So the fact that we're at 5 and we're, you know, only like you know, 7 months in is something we're really proud to hang our hat on. And I think it goes to show that there is true thirst for what we provide on the market for everyone. As far as how we compare to other folks, you know, I'm not going to go out there, get out there and point fingers or call names or anything like that. But what I will say is nobody on the market, not a single competitor shares the same combination of unique features that we do. So we have all these things, the live streaming I mentioned, short form video, longer posts, the no censorship, whatever, all of these features or all of these promises, no one has this unique combination of them. And what I'll also say is that we, you know, we talk about this, our tagline is literally the marketplace of ideas. So that really speaks to kind of what you were describing as far as, you know, being able to perfect our arguments, perfect our country through discourse. And I think that again is in the spirit of what we do, but what I'll say is what we found is that a rising tide lifts all boats in this space. You don't just go to Twitter. You don't just go to Facebook. You don't just go to YouTube, for example. There are many different offerings because for many years, they have said, they being the left has said, if you do not like it here, go out and build it. And Paul, not only did we build it here at Getter, it works and it incorporates almost every other big tech social media platform, all of their features. And it's truly astounding. Now, I say that to say there's room for more than one of us, right? Truth Social just jumped on the market. Good for them. You know, we worked for President Trump for many years. I hope that they're successful because honestly, man, at the end of the day, it's about getting as many people involved in the conversation as possible because nobody's been talking about it. And it's becoming harder and harder to ignore it. And I think it's not only good for business for us, right? But it's good for our country to sit out there and really, you know, it's this awakening. A good example would be we were walking around at CPAC about a month or so ago now. And it really dawned on me, Paul, there are children, there are kids, you know, up to the age of 18, that this is all they know. All they know is this lack of a marketplace of ideas, this censorship, the cancel culture, all these things, they do not know better. They do not know what free speech is like. So when you get out there and you explain it to these people, it's like watching them discover this, like, you know, this fundamental human right they have for the first time. And I think the more people we get just contributing to the conversation, whether it's with us, whether it's with Truth, whether it's with Rumble, whatever, the better it is for not only the health of our nation, but for the industry. And so that's kind of like where I stand on that.
Yeah, it's funny. I speak to different groups. I was speaking to a college group last year, and it was near the end of the discussion. It was this young man, and I can call him young because he's my daughter's age, says, Paul, you know, you've been talking about rights and infringements and all of that, but if it's for the good cause, what's the big deal? It's not like society has collapsed. And to say that struck me would be an understatement. I think I spent the next 10, 15 minutes citing a litany of rights I exercised at his age that he has no clue even exist. And you're right. It's more voices are a good thing. I like the fact that you say, you know, you've got a minimalistic algorithm. It's not, we're going to try and figure out what we think you'll like. It's, well, here's the people you like, and here's the people they like. Maybe you're interested. A very much of a word of mouth type process. I like that concept. Any comments about maybe other things we might be expecting from Getter in the near future?
Yeah. So another thing that, you know, I think we really struggle with is, and we're seeing totally come into play in Canada, for example. So let me explain kind of where I'm going with this, and then I'll unveil a new feature to you. How about we do that? So
sounds good.
The left and big tech, all these guys have conspired really to convince the public at large that none of any of these things we complain about, right? They've gaslit us into thinking they're all in the ether, right? They're not real. They're not tangible things that truly impact your life, right? And not only do these things absolutely have tangible impacts, but they have impacts no matter which country you live in, whether you're black, white, fat, skinny, fit, you know, Republican, Democrat, you're even in the United States. And we see that in Canada, right? So in Canada, we see them out there canceling the bank accounts of these truckers, right, who are standing up against, you know, these unconstitutional mandates, these oppressive mandates. What we're going to do here, hopefully in July, Paul, is roll out what we're calling Getter Pay. So we're dipping a little bit into the crypto space that, you know, I admittedly am not an expert in. But the way I like to describe it is it's similar to like how a Patreon or a Twitch works, where you'll basically be able to tip and contribute and donate to your favorite content creators, whoever you like running for office, all of these things with a, you know, 2-3 click process, because we don't want these Silicon Valley, these tech oligarchs, these nerds in hoodies telling you whether or not you can even participate in the global marketplace. I mean, that's absurd. And to think, like, this is what happens to people when the entire leverage of a government, of an oppressive body is you know, put down on one group of people. We've got to find alternatives to that. So we're working with many partners across all lines and across in many countries to make sure that isn't the case here, that people will have a safe place to go do that thing. So it'll be good. And we're really excited. Hopefully that's out in July.
Cool. And you said that will be about your 1-year anniversary, right?
Yes, sir. Yeah. The goal is to have about 10 million folks on board and we'll be cooking with jet fuel. Should be great.
I don't know. If you ever try roasting a hot dog over a jet engine, I don't know if it tastes that good, but but you know, again, it's great. I love the entrepreneurial attitude of seeing a need and finding a way to fill it and then finding ways to provide the services that people want. You know, what we were all told when we were children, you attract more flies with honey than you do with vinegar. And that's what you're trying to do, is you're trying to provide things that are attracting people to Getter, that gives them an alternative that I think they would like. You were right. You've convinced me. I'm going to go sign up for Getter. I'm going to add it to my workflows of posting content. Hopefully some of my listeners here will enjoy that and they'll join me as we join together. Before we run out of time, is there anything else you have that you want to tell myself or my audience before we close this out?
Yeah. So the big message I always like to, you know, make sure we get across is that they win when you feel alone, Paul. When you feel like you're all alone in this world in the way you think, the way you process things, the way you speak, and when you feel alone in who you are, that's when they win. And I think that's really what we strive to, you know, provide the outlet for. And it's not only something that occurs here, this fight, it's very important to, you know, in the battle for the soul of our country, but really the soul of our movement, the pro-freedom movement, it is so critical. What has been absolutely astounding to me since we launched is that we're a global platform, right? So we've got 5 million users, but there are good chunks of them in places like Brazil, the UK, France, Germany, Japan, India, where these issues are happening as well. And it has just been truly astounding. I mean, we get mad that a nerd in a hoodie in Silicon Valley tells us what we can or cannot think or say, but imagine if that guy didn't even live in the same country as you. So this is really critical to, I think, preventing, you know, future conflicts in the future, to, you know, preventing this disease from growing and taking over the world. I mean, we're really looking at a 1984, situation here where they're going to have complete and total control of everything. If we don't plant our flag down right now and fight for the soul of humanity. And, again, I just encourage everyone to join our fight, to join the fight against oppressive regimes, mandates, all of those things, big tech, and get on Getter. And if you're listening, give me a shout out. My name is at @KAELAN. And let me know you heard us here on Paul's show, and I'll give you some special love on the platform. But thanks again for having me, brother. I really appreciate it. What you guys are doing here is critical, and look forward to working together in the future.
Thank you again for your time. Again, everyone head over to Getter, G-E-T-T-R, Getter.com. Give it a try. I mean, it's not like it's dipping into your wallet to do it. It's a chance to, as he said, not feel alone. And, you know, you're absolutely right. You know, Santayana said, those who refuse to learn from history are doomed to repeat it. Let's not repeat those problems. Let's not repeat those mistakes. And let's consider adding Getters to one of your platforms to share the blessings of liberty that so many of our predecessors fought and died for to allow us to live this way. Now, I do have to head off to a break, but I would like you to also please head over to HealthyCell.com. You know, they haven't really updated vitamins since the 1930s. And if you're like me, the idea of taking a fistful of vitamins isn't a lot of fun. Now, Healthy Cell has a whole suite of pill-free vitamins that are easy to take, easy to use, and easy to travel. If you're like me, sometimes you get to the end of the day, your head gets a little fuzzy, you need that extra focus. Maybe you reach for an energy shot or an energy drink. Try Focus and Recall. It doesn't contain lots of caffeine and sugar. It doesn't get you hyped up. It doesn't lead to the crash. If you go to HealthyCell.com, you can try any of their products. You'll get 20% off your first order. Just use the code OUTLOUD at checkout. So once again, try HealthyCell.com. Use the code OUTLOUD at checkout to get 20% off your first order.
Let's get real. Let's get loud. On America Out Loud Talk Radio, this is McCullough Report. Are you tired of your tired vitamins? Consider Healthy Cell. These are pill-free vitamins that are in convenient gel packs. I like the Focus and Recall supplement. I use this a lot. You know, your brain uses a lot of energy, and it depends on a variety of micronutrients and vitamins. Boost your short-term focus and long-term brain power with Healthy Cell's Focus and Recall vitamins. So go to HealthyCell.com, use the code OUTLOUD, all capital letters, OUTLOUD, for a 20% off your first order of any Healthy Cell product. Let's get real, let's get loud, on America Out Loud Talk Radio.
In 2008, the amount of concentrated time people could spend on a task without becoming distracted was 12 seconds. 5 years later, it was only 8 seconds, 1 second less than a goldfish. If you find yourself always distracted or having trouble recalling information, you're likely to fall behind in the demanding, fast-paced 21st century. In other words, brain performance is more critical now than ever. Boost your brain power with Healthy Cell's Focus Plus Recall. Science-backed nootropics to sharpen focus, concentrate longer, enhance recall, improve mental speed, learn rapidly, and be more alert. It's a pill-free brain supplement made with maximum absorption technology, designed to feed our brains at the cellular level. Take it for a test drive. Go to HealthyCell.com and use code OUTLOUD for 20% off your first order of Focus Plus Recall. That's HealthyCell.com. Code OUTLOUD for 20% off.
Dr. Vladimir Zelenko knows a thing or two about the immune system. He was nominated for a Nobel Prize for his early COVID-19 treatments, and now he's offering his Z-Stack supplements to our listeners at a discount. Just go to zstacklife.com/freedom. That's zstacklife.com/freedom.
The spirit of American liberty and justice is woven into the soul of America Out Loud. We are the voice of a nation, the American nation, that is. This is Malcolm Out Loud. I invite you back to AmericaOutLoud.com, where the fight for liberty and justice continues. America Out Loud Talk Radio.
Welcome back, everyday Americans. You've rejoined the Constitution Study. Today we're discussing freedom of thought. This quote from Benjamin Franklin as Silence Do Good, that you can't have wisdom without freedom of thought, and you can't have public liberty without freedom of speech. Now, the first half of the program, I interviewed Kaylin Dorr from Getter, and discussing why they came about, why we need another social media platform, what was unique about this, and I did kind of like what he was talking about. In fact, I've set up a Getter account. You can find me at Paul Engel, E-N-G-E-L. I tried to do Constitution Study, but it was too long for their platform, and Constitution Guy had already been taken, so I'm just using my name, Paul Engel, but I will be posting stuff from the Constitution Study up there. So if you are on Getter, or if you join Getter and you want to contact me there, again, the handle is at Paul Engel, E-N-G-E-L, and that should be, you should be able to find me there. Now, what else did you want to talk about today? Because we are talking about, you know, this idea of freedom of thought. And I came across this article in the New American. Now, it involves a message that was posted on Telegram by a parent of a middle schooler in Whidbey Island, about 30 miles north of Seattle. Now, understand, in the state of Washington, school mask mandates have been lifted. So K through 12 schools, effective March 14th, they don't need to wear masks. However, this one teacher, of a middle school teacher, sent home an email to the students, and I believe it was to the students. Yes, it was to the students. And in that, sixth graders, in the email to sixth graders, she wrote, "I will continue to wear my mask even though I am fully vaccinated and boosted. I will wear my mask to protect students and staff from any germs I may be carrying. I will wear my mask to protect myself from any germs being carried by others. I want to support any student or staff who also wants to wear their masks." Now, this got the parents' attention because she says this is an attempt to guilt trip her child into wearing a mask. And in fact, it appears to be working because another parent pointed out that when their child came home after the first mask-free day, well, the child reported that 50% of the school population still wore masks. Why? Why? Because we have been bullied and intimidated to doing what government wants. And now, even when the state government has said you don't need to wear masks, the teachers, who are government employees, are now trying to guilt trip children into wearing masks. And I find this really hilarious because, again, let's take a little bit of you know, maybe common sense. No, that's too rare nowadays. How about just about a little bit of reasonable thinking? If this teacher is wearing, and I believe it's a she, I'm not sure, but if the teacher's wearing the mask, even though they're vaccinated and boosted, then they don't believe the vaccines and boosters work. See, if they were vaccinated and boosted, they wouldn't wear a mask to protect them from COVID, from other things. But notice, it says, They're going to wear a mask to protect myself from any germs being carried by others. We have turned a portion of our population into hypochondriacs. Notice, the teacher didn't say from COVID carrying by this, just by germs. Didn't even say a virus, by germs. We have turned our children and our teachers into hypochondriacs. Now, I don't believe this teacher is truly a hypochondriac. I believe this teacher is either completely misguided, unable to carry on a rational thought in her head when it comes to the standpoint of if the masks worked, then if the quote unquote vaccines and boosters worked, she wouldn't need a mask, at least not for COVID, right? Because A, she wouldn't be able to get COVID, and B, she wouldn't be able to transmit COVID. But guess what? She believes that neither of those are true. She doesn't believe the vaccines or the boosters work. But again, if she's worried about spreading germs to others, we're not talking about spreading the virus. This is spreading germs. What does it say about our country where not only have we lost the ability to reasonably look and say, you know what, we've spent thousands of years as human beings without wearing masks to prevent the spreading of germs. We've spent hundreds of years with relatively fewer diseases. We've spent decades with even fewer diseases, and we didn't wear masks all the time. In fact, I never wore masks until this nonsense came out and some tyrant said, you need to wear it to enter a certain building. This is what we've turned America into. You're not allowed to think differently. And even though the mask mandates have been lifted in Washington, this teacher still wants to indoctrinate her children with the idea of, you have to be afraid of everybody else. They may have cooties. She may as well have used the term cooties instead of germs. Because, again, I don't know the size of a germ, but how big is it compared to the holes in the mask? We've turned it into a quivering, no longer the land, the home of the brave. We are now a group, there's a large percentage of us that are quivering, sniveling cowards, afraid of germs. We used to go out and get germs as children to build up our immune system so we would grow up healthy and strong. Now, we have teachers not only showing themselves to be afraid of germs, but teaching children to be afraid of germs. And if half of the school population wore masks, that means half of that school have been turned into hypochondriacs. Now, yes, you do things to mitigate germs. You wash your hands. You sneeze into your elbow. There are a lot of things you do to mitigate germs, but to have to wear a mask because you're afraid of germs is a level of fear and infantile reactions that says an awful lot about the idea of public thought. Freedom of thought to say, you know what, I'm smarter than that. I don't have to wear a mask. You're not allowed to think that way. Because notice, the teacher only wants to support students and staff that want to wear masks. What about the students and staff that don't want to wear masks? Is this teacher willing to support them? This is what happens when we give over our own reason to somebody else. We're going to let somebody else think for us. We're not going to rationalize. We're not going to analyze. We're not going to comprehend. We're simply going to sit back and do what we're told. But it's more than just students in schools. See, on a recent CNBC program, Senator Elizabeth Warren seems to be blaming everybody but the government for record high inflation. She blamed the coronavirus, she blamed the oil industry, she even blamed the meat industry. She said, I think the primary cause of this bout of price increase starts with COVID. Well, all right, let's back up a second. Let's take this piece at a time. there is one of those things where there's a sliver of truth, but you see, it wasn't COVID that started this. It was the government overreaction to COVID. The price increases are not correlated with the disease, but the fact that governments around the country and around the world shut things down, suppressed economics, suppressed your ability to work, to earn money, to buy food. They then turned around and dumped trillions of dollars into the economy. And then once they released the suppression of activity, you have the perfect example. You have the Petri dish for inflation. Inflation is more dollars chasing fewer goods. That's how we get inflation, right? If you had $100 chasing 100 goods, the goods would be $1 each. It's nice and simple. What we did is we said, first, we're going to suppress your ability to perform economic activity. You couldn't go out and buy things. They said certain businesses were not essential and they shut them down. They did everything they could to suppress the economy, which of course left people unable to buy the necessities. So they suppressed the economic activity. You had, again, fewer goods, but not simply fewer goods. You had fewer demand for goods. They then pumped trillions of dollars into the economy. You now have a lot more money, but it's not chasing the goods because there aren't many goods you can go do. You couldn't, you know, people didn't go on vacation. They didn't take trips. They didn't do a lot of things. So once you kind of release that restriction and now those extra trillions of dollars are now chasing goods, there's the inflation. So it wasn't COVID, in my understanding. Again, I'm not an economist, but I've read several of them. It wasn't COVID that was the cause of price increase. It was government's overreaction to COVID. She goes on to say, and the fact that we have supply chain kinks and that people are rapidly shifting the demand curve so that demand for services went down and the demand for goods went up. Well, okay, why do we have this supply chain kinks? A lot of it has to do with the fact that we didn't have people to move goods. Again, government's reaction. This lays right at the government's reaction is really what led to this. All right, so this is part of the part. So okay, she's got a point. It's misguided. It revolves around the COVID scare, but it actually was government actions that I believe had the vast majority of the reaction. But she just simply seems dismisses that. But then she went on to some very interesting statements. She said, but what has also happened is that now we live in America where there's a lot more concentration in certain industries. Look at the oil industry, look at the meat industry, look at grocery generally. That's what's happened is these companies have said, you know, we'll pass along costs, but while we're at it, and everyone is talking about rising costs, let's just add an extra big dollop of cost increase to expand our profits. Does she have any evidence of this? Does she have any evidence that meat companies, grocery companies, oil companies are increasing their profit margins? In other words, they're getting a larger percentage. No, she doesn't provide any of them. She simply states, "Hope you know what? It's their fault. It's always going to be somebody else's fault." That is a common human reaction. It is never your fault. It's always somebody else's fault. Now, she tried to explain herself. She says, think about it this way. If all that was happening was that we have problems in the supply chain, so we're passing those costs along, profit margins should have stayed about the same percentage, right? They might have even shrunk a little bit, not happening. Those margins are increasing, and they're increasing the most where we see lots of corporate concentration. Okay, again, where? Show me. You're talking about, for the most part, publicly traded companies, so their financials are publicly available. Show me. Where? Give one example. Because she's missing one very important point. Yes, we have these supply chain issues. We also have a tremendous expansion in the money supply. You have Congress putting us trillions of dollars further in debt. You have them demanding the Federal Reserve create trillions of dollars out of thin air. And any economist worth his salt understands that when you have more money chasing fewer goods, that is inflation. Now, Ms. Warren is more than happy to have her opinion. She can think that way. But I think it's just as important that others challenge her opinion. Simply because she's won a Senate seat doesn't mean she knows what she's talking about. And it certainly doesn't mean that her concepts should not be challenged. And of course, Senator Warren isn't the only one. She was on, she was on a program dealing with the neglect epidemic of missing BIPOC women and girls. She made the following comment. Today, I want to discuss part of this crisis that is all too often overlooked, but whose evidence shows that there is a very meaningful connection here, the correlation between fossil fuel extraction sites and abductions and murders of indigenous women across the United States. Huh? Now, she was talking to the executive director of the Coalition to Stop Violence Against Native Women. Hey, I have no problem with that. I don't want violence against any women. But somehow they're trying to relate that, well, when you have oil and gas pipelines, they'll often be temporary camps where they're building, whether it's oil wells or pipelines, and that somehow that correlates to violence against only Native women. It doesn't happen to other women. Apparently, it's only Native women in their minds. Now, again, is there a correlation? I'm not sure. They didn't reference any data. They simply made these statements. But I could see, yes, just like in larger cities, there's more violence against women in cities. The larger they are, the more often it happens. So there is a correlation there. But is it specifically targeted against Native American women? Or is it simply the fact that they're only looking at the places where the Native American population is large and being a little myopic about it. Now, again, Ms. Ocasio-Cortez is fully allowed to have whatever opinion she wants, but we need to challenge it with facts. See, freedom of thought doesn't mean you simply adopt whatever other people say. Freedom of thought means you listen, and then you go back to see if what they're saying is true. And what we have here are two examples of members of Congress saying things without providing any evidence that what they're saying is true. And that is a dangerous situation. Because then you are not thinking for yourself, someone else is thinking for you. That's not freedom of thought. That's controlled thought. Now, these ladies are members of Congress, which means there is one voice among many. There's 535 members of Congress, 435 in the House, 100 in the Senate. But what happens when someone with unfactually supported ideas gets into a situation where there are fewer people to challenge, to counterbalance what they have to say? Now, I have said from the beginning, I have no problem with a female Supreme Court justice. I have no problem with a black Supreme Court justice. I have no problem with a black Supreme Court justice. But when you're going to hire somebody because they are black and female, then you are racist and you are sexist, because you are by definition saying you're going to exclude other people, not because who may be more qualified. I'm not saying are. I'm saying may be more qualified, but you're going to exclude them because, well, they don't meet your racial nonsense. And then we have this little tweet coming out of the Daily Wire. You see, Biden Supreme Court pick championed advocates of critical race theory in her lectures. Now, again, Nicole, her name is Ketanji Brown Jackson. If she thinks that 1619 and similar projects are true, you're welcome to your own opinion. What you're not welcome to are your own facts. And here's the problem. She has been nominated to one of nine positions on the Supreme Court, where she is expected to study the law and apply it to cases. And if she can't realize that 1619 was not the founding of this country, 1776 was, if she's willing to substitute what has already been, by the New York Times, admitted to be a fraudulent collection of essays, specifically critical of America, not based in history, but based in political science, and she's willing to elevate them, will she elevate them above the supreme law of the land that she is going to swear or affirm to support in her oath of office? See, the Senate is supposed to advise and consent. The Senate should be looking at this person saying, does this person have a track record that shows that they will apply the law and not make the law? This does not give me warm and fuzzy. Not that I expected it. This is exactly the type of stuff I expected out of a racially chosen nominee. The question is, will the people who elected their representatives in the Senate, the Senate represents the states, they have the role to advise and consent, not to rubber stamp based on political party. The question is, will they look at this and question, okay, wait a second, how does your opinion of critical race theory and the 1619 Project, how does that impact your decision-making process when deciding cases? You see, one of the things I learned is that Ms. Jackson doesn't have much of a history in appellate court. Most of her career has been in a district court, which are finders of fact, as opposed to an appellate court where they're looking at the process that was followed. So is this now going to be another political activist on the court? Now, she would be replacing a political activist on the court, so it wouldn't have a tremendous change in the makeup of the court as a whole. But she's a fairly young woman. She, if her nomination is approved, if she's appointed to the court, she will probably be there a very long time. Tell me, do the American people want a Supreme Court associate justice that believes America is evil, is racist, and is irredeemable? Is that who you want on the court making decisions that will impact everybody in the United States? You see, the important thing I think Franklin was trying to make, the point he was trying to make is we need freedom of thought. We need to be able to think without government coercion. But just because you think it doesn't make it so. As I've said, you have the right to your own opinion. You don't have your right to the right to your own facts. I can't tell you the number of times I've heard some, well, that's your truth, but not my truth, you know, and you know, there are times when we can agree to disagree. There are other times that we can't. There are times when, for example, you know, you may think one team is better than the other. I may think auto racing is more fun than football. You may think football is more fun than baseball. Those are areas of disagree. Can you disagree on 2 + 2 = 4? More accurately, what happens when people claim that 2 + 2 = 5 for very large instances of 2, and that's accepted as just as true as 2 + 2 = 4? See, freedom of thought should lead to wisdom. The idea of allowing competing ideas to exist in the marketplace to fight themselves out. As the Bible says, as iron sharpens iron, so one man sharpens his countenance on another. You listen to different ideas and you allow them to work out because we're trying to find the truth. When you're not dealing with simple opinion, when you're dealing with thoughts, with facts, you want to find the truth. But we also must decide when we are choosing our employees, whether they be elected employees or appointed employees, The question is, are they allowed to have their own truth? Yes, I want to hear your opinions. I may disagree with them. They may or may not be something that impacts my decision. But we want those opinions out there. I don't want to silence people. I hear so many people talk about Senator Warren or Representative Ocasio-Cortez wanting to shut them up. I don't want to shut them up. I want to hear what they have to say. I want them to prove just how foolish their ideas are. I want other people to see that. That, to me, is where to come wisdom. If someone comes to me and says, the sky is green, and I look out at it and say, no, it's not, I have the wisdom to understand maybe I want to take what that person says with a large dose of salt. Let us allow the freedom of ideas so that we can gain wisdom. It's not simply the person speaking that gains wisdom. It's the person that listens that gains wisdom. When my ideas are challenged and I have to go prove them, I gain in wisdom. And the ability to speak those ideas, to talk about them in public, is how we maintain a public liberty. So whether you're talking about what's going on in social media, in mainstream media, in the press, this idea to suppress methods of thought, suppress methods of speech, or even just teachers in school pressuring certain ideas. Let's recognize that for what that is. That is a suppression of liberty. It is the suppression of public liberty leading to the suppression of public wisdom. We may not always agree what wisdom is, but we should agree that it's something that we want. And if we don't challenge the assumptions of others and we don't allow our own assumptions to be challenged, wisdom will forever elude us. And we will be led by the nose into tyranny, into despotism, and into the dystopian future so many authors, writers, and filmmakers have warned us about. Now, you can find out more about this show, get all the latest podcasts. Just please go to AmericaOutLoud.com. You'll find us under our shows or schedule, and you can find out what's going on. And since I just joined Getter, you can find me at Getter at Paul Engel. That's at Paul, E-N-G-E-L. Follow me, ping me, let me know what's going on. All of this we do so that we can find and secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and to our posterity, because that is the true inheritance of being an American.
Paid the bills, stay out of jail, love the neighbors, and have a few good friends.